Mr. Haig, reel 7.
And the Abuka. You had a way of getting these names so that they were...
Well, actually, we always called it the Abuka. But I may say, it is Abuker. I may say it's where old Nelson had a battle, wasn't it?
That's right, that's it. And as a signal boy, you said that you were...
Life was hell. I may say you was everybody's kicking post. I may say, didn't matter who it was, I may say he was more than you, so you've done what you was told.
You were the lowest form of...
You were lowest form, next to a jellyfish, lowest form of animal life.
And you expect to work all times,
yeah.
4 on 8 hours.
Yeah, actually. I mean, say you was if you was watch keeping. I mean, say when you come off watch, you'd have to do something because the upper deck people were doing something. You had to be with them.
And were you learning at this time as well? Were you able to?
Well, learn? I mean, say the only thing he was learning watch keeping. You know, the actual signalling work. The practical signalling side of it, not just exercise, you know, not just learning it.
How did this go on? How did this proceed? In what way? I mean, in your own, from your own position as a signal boy?
Well, I may say, you started there, you used to write down the messages as they come in and look out. Anything like that, that was your job. Anything that no one else wanted, you done.
And would the older hands, the signalmen and leading signalmen, would they help you to learn this?
Well, I may say, they would sometimes, if it suited their convenience. Otherwise, I mean to say, you was like the pictures on the wall, seen not heard.
You weren't. Did you live with it?
Yes. You was the boy of the mess. You've done all the dirty work in the mess. And then, I may say, you didn't pay a mess bill. They paid the mess bill. You didn't do one, but you had to get the spuds, peel them, and all jobs like that, you know. That no, you've done the jobs that no one else wanted. Dishing up and all that caper.
And scrubbing up.
Yeah.
Up.
All that, though. Okay, for sure. That was your perk.
And that was how you learned about Navy life,
yeah,
and things generally. Did you get any help from anybody, any encouragement or any advice? Or were there one or two who were a bit easier?
Oh, yes, you're bound to find them in any ship. I mean, we had a signal instructor there. Of course, that was going back, I mean, say, an SI. And he used to take you there, you know, when there was quiet. But I mean, say, in mobilising, there was very little quiet time because you was at sea, punching up and down the North Sea and all that lark.
Did your education go on with this? I mean, the schooling and so many hours...
Never done any schooling in any ship. I didn't do that. No, I don't know whether we did have a schoolie in the Abuka. If he did, I mean, so all he was doing was like stokers and people like that passing their education test for PO.
Sure, sure. And you were in the Abuka for how long, in fact? Doesn't seem honest here.
No. Well, I mean, so it wasn't because on my papers it don't even mention it because I was still born on the books of victory.
Right, yeah. But your first ship was a St. Vincent.
That was the first big ship.
First
yeah.
proper ship you were in as a... Yeah. But you're still a boy.
Yeah, and they've got made OD there.
Right. You had to pass an examination to get OD.
Yeah.
What sort of papers, many papers?
Well, I mean, say, it was only on board a ship. Normally speaking, signal ratings had to go somewhere else for examination, but passing from a boy to OD, it's just to say that there's been an examination, that's all.
And everybody really who was a boy automatically became a proper signalman, really.
But you had to go through the motions.
Yeah, yeah. No one failed this exam.
Well, I mean, so you was... If you was qualified and like that as a boy, I mean, so you was qualified as an OD, all you got after that was your experience.
Yeah. What should you get? What money did you get, actually?
As a signal boy, your pay rose to... 3 and 6 a week, that's all. And then when you got made OD, it was what? Something about a shilling. That's right, a shilling, I think.
And just before lunch then, now that you're a signal man, proper ordinary signalman, you're now a watchkeeper and you now take responsibility.
Oh, yeah.
Now, what happens? When do you suddenly realise that you're taking responsibility? In what ways does it come home to you?
Well, I mean, see, the thing is, you're on the bridge and anything goes wrong and you're responsible, that's when you get it in the neck. See, I mean, see, there's no excuse taken, not for signal range, there wasn't. You had to be right the whole time. And, of course, as I say, they used to have this caper in the middle of the night. They'd call you up and ask you a question. Legitimate question. And you had to have the answer prompt. You know what I mean? And also, I mean, see, the question was, they'd call you up, you know what I mean? So you had to be well alive enough, I mean, and wide awake enough to catch them straight when they started calling. Because if they went on, I mean, say, calling you, the old fleet would join in. And then, before you knew what was up, you'd get a one-gun salute. See, they'd fire a gun.
Why?
To attract your attention. Then everybody in the fleet would be awake. And you'd get the reference sheet. Yeah.
So again, it's competition and getting...
Oh, yes, yeah. See, and this gun cost you 7 and 6 pence. You'd have to pay for it.
Did it happen often that men got...
No. The most ever the one-gun salute was fired was... court martials, but if you had a one gun salute, you had to pay for it, you know, if it were night time. But see, now we had a what we called a cruiser R-frame. It was a box arrangement, electric and run by two carbons, and that used to tip up and used to be ideal for boiling your cocoa on. Well, you sit round there and of course you couldn't see someone give you a blink off to the races. Because you don't know, I mean, so it might be some question just for you, or it might be send night boat screw to someone. You didn't know, so you had to be alive. And consequence, I mean, say when you're burning the old cruiser arm to do your cocoa, of course the galleys and all that lot were all shut down. You couldn't get in them. And you'd be cooking your cocoa, as I say. If you had no one else on watch with you, well, you batted because you'd be watching this and the light of that would, by the time you got your eyes climatised, I mean, say, everyone knew about it. But of course then, again, as you become a man's estate, you cease to become one above the jellyfish stage. And of course, I mean, you pay your mess bill the same as the rest.
And you become, as you say, though, a man as well. Mm. And you become the sort of person, you say, who, if black is white and the signalman says so, that's it. I mean, Your word is...
Oh, yes, yeah. Well, it was 9 times out of 10, I may say. And, well, they're very hot to act on it.
You ever make a mistake in the acting on it?
Oh, yes, I may say. Yes, you make a mistake. And I may say, it's all according to what mistake it is, and if you can correct it quick enough. See, otherwise, I may say, you don't know what it might be.
You told me the story of the time the signal for an important signal got wrapped up with others. Tell me that one again, the one during the war this was. To get the ship out of port, and it was coming through with about 6 or 7 other signals, and of course it got wrapped up and processed along. What was that one?
Oh, that was actually it wasn't the ship. It was rough weather. It was around Portland, and we was coming around to Pompey, and we had a drifter attached to us, you know, take Liberty men ashore. Well, this drifter was in Weymouth, and there was no communication between the signal station in Portland and these people where they tied up in Weymouth. So consequence, we had a hell of a job. And as I say, we was going to sea, and they sent up and said, oh, stop the trawler coming out. Of course, I bung this signal to the signal station. And it just 8 o'clock in the forenoon, I went off watch. Well, next thing I knew, there was hullabaloo. Bloke come down, he said, here, he said, what's this signal from the signal station? And am I unable to get what name? Oh, no, before that, the blooming drifter come out. See, and the officer watched, told him to get back, to return to harbour. And, of course, later on, we got this message come through from the signal station, unable to pass this signal. Oh, by that time, I was in front of the bloke. Hey, not stopping the trawler. Oh, the signal officer come down, and he said to me, what's happened? So I told him. Oh, he says, what steps have you taken? I said, well, I told the signal station to take no further action. Oh, he said, well, what's the matter now? I said, well, I said, they couldn't get the message through. I said, the trawler's come out. I said, been sent back by the officer watch. He said, well, what's the matter with you? I said, I'm in the report for not stopping her. He said, no. He said, you actually made the signal stop? Yes, I said. No, I made the signal, tell them to take the further action, because we just got a procedure signal for it. He said, no. Before you knew what was up, he'd gone up to the skipper and told him all the lot and explained everything. And when I went up, he said, oh, he says, all right, he said, we've heard the evidence. He says, dismiss. That was that. But on me, say, could have. If he hadn't come down, I mean, so I would have been there and never been able to explain at all. See, but he happened to just barge along and see me. He said, what are you doing here? Of course, he was a proper pucker signal officer. Now, when I explained to him what had happened and what I'd done, I mean, so he soon finished that. But he wasn't very popular, you know. He was too strict for the officers. Because she was a boys' training ship. As I say, he was a proper pucker signal officer, and consequence, when he used to say anything, the tribe of officers there, of boys, you know, in charge of the boys, they didn't like it at all. And of course, he knew his business, and if you said to him, so-and-so and so-and-so, and he knew it was right, that was that, and no more said. But if you started dithering, you know, saying, well, so-and-so, oh, that was finished, you don't know what you're talking about. Yeah, there was never any argument with him, either. You had to give him a straight answer and stick by it.
That was all right, if you give an answer. In your relations with the officers, we talked about this before, they came in different types as well.
Yes, oh, definitely different types. You know, in the Draken could open them, we had all people come off the scrap heap, you know, all reserve officers. And, oh, God, Lord, they were a shower.
Really?
Yes, I mean, see, you know, half of them had gone outside because they never get any further promotion and all that. Like, oh.
What sort of example? This is during the war. During the war, they were brought back into the service. What ship would this be in?
The Drake was a four funnel cruiser.
Yeah.
So you had the Drake, Leviathan, Goodhope, and King Alfred. Yeah. That was the four class. And the Drake was the ship that when Prince Louis of Battenberg was in charge, it used to be his flagship. He used to run. He used to take her over to Yankee Land and anywhere. The Drake. And the Goodhope. Of course, she got sunk off Coronel.
What about the officers that, you know, during the war that you found the reserves?
Well, I may say, they were Drake. Come off a scrap heap, but I may say, they couldn't get out the old Nelson tradition, you know, I'm it and you're nothing.
Sort of duds, really.
Yeah, oh, yes. Well, one I know, well, I'm not going to mention any names, but he was in a small cruiser before he left the Navy, and he struck topmast with a dockyard matey underneath, killed him. See, because obviously no one must interfere with what I'm doing. I'm a naval officer, see? And he killed his dockyard mate. And I think that's what he, why he left the navy for in the first place. Of course, when he come back with Drake, and we had some beauties there.
Such as
what? Well, we had the gunnery officer. Mind you, the Drake had 2 9.2 guns, obsolete. And I was up in the top with him one day doing exercise, and he says his ambition was to meet the Von der Tann in the Drake. And HMS Tiger had just come and joined up with the fleet, and I'd been having a quiet yarn with her during the night and found out quite a lot about her and her armament. So I said to him, yes, I said, be all right, wouldn't it? I said, but do you know the Tiger could give leave to one watch, I said, and sink us with a second armament before we could get into range? I said, what's going to happen if you met the Von der Tann in this? I said, one puff of smoke, I said, we'd be down. But he really said,